many times have you thought about quitting your job and starting a new life? Hey, I'm Lindsay, the girl who actually did that. And now I'm on a mission to change the 9-to-5 narrative that dreading Monday and working for the weekend is normal and acceptable. My goal is to help you see your potential beyond your credentials, gain clarity on what it means to live life on your own terms, and build the confidence to go after your dream career. I'm here to prove to you that it's possible for you to do work you love, make a positive impact on the world, make even more money than you're making right now, and live a deeply fulfilling life. So let's dive in. Whether you're a solopreneur trying to manage your client workload, or if you have a team supporting your business, staying organized is the key to building a sustainable business. I think back to the days when I was running my business through emails, text messages, and the notes app on my phone, and I'm so glad I discovered tools like Basecamp. Basecamp is a project management and team communication app used by thousands of companies to help you stay organized, stay in touch, and get things done more efficiently. It's an all-in-one toolkit for remote work with message boards, to-dos, calendars, document sharing, group chats, and more. I love that Basecamp is built for simplicity and keeps everything in one place so I can communicate with my team and send deliverables to my clients without switching between 6 different apps. Go to basecamp.com/Lindsay, that's L-I-N-D-S-A-Y, and try Basecamp for free. No credit card is required and you can cancel anytime. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. If you are ready to leave your 9-to-5 behind and step into freelancing, this one's for you. I'm here with Aubrey Malik, a boy mom, former teacher, and host of the Freelancer to CEO podcast. Through her podcast and programs, she helps overworked and underpaid moms and soon-to-be former teachers experience the freedom and joy that comes from designing a freelancing business with the skills they already have. After taking her own leap of faith over 3 years ago and replacing her teaching income within 2 months, Aubrey became passionate about helping other women start and grow their own businesses to 5K plus months from home. I am so excited to dive into your story. Aubrey, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about who you are and what it is that you do.
Yeah. So you gave some really good context there, but I'll go a little bit more in depth and I'll try to keep it short and sweet, even though that's really hard for me to do. But I'm a mom. I've got 2 little guys. They're 3 and 5. So such a fun age right now for them. And my wife and my former life, I always like to refer to it because it wasn't that long ago. Like it was only 3.5 years ago, but now it feels so far removed that I'm like, I don't even remember what that's like. I don't remember what it's like wake up and go to a typical job. Like it just doesn't even click for me anymore. So I was an elementary teacher and I loved what I did as a teacher. Of course, there were some things that I would like to change. So it wasn't necessarily like the teaching part of it. But for me, it was just about finding something that allowed me more flexibility. My dream job before anything else was to be a mom. And once I became a mom, I realized that I just was constantly in that state of feeling like something was always suffering. Either I was giving my all to my family and like wanting to be there for them. And I felt like my job was suffering. I felt like my students were suffering. They weren't getting the best of me. And then I would go and then I would swing to the other side. And I'm like, well, my students see me, like they need to grow. They need to learn. So then I would get to work early. I would stay late. I was bringing work home with me and grading papers at the table as opposed to spending time with my son on the floor. And so I just constantly felt that guilt. And I really just wanted something that allowed me to be, you know, to work for things we needed the money, but I wanted something that just I could build on my own schedule. It was just, I wouldn't say I'm a rule breaker. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm a rebel, but I just like to go to the beat of my own drum. Like that is something that my parents have said from such an early age. So I had tried a lot of different things to have that flexibility, those like work from home options that a lot of people see online. Like I joined a couple different network marketing companies and that didn't work. I was teaching kids English online at like 3 in the morning. And, you know, some of those, they brought in some income, but it really wasn't where I could actually take it to my husband and be like, hey, this is the thing that's going to replace my income, or this is just going to be something that allows us to have that nest egg. It wasn't, I honestly didn't think I needed to replace my full income. I just figured like we can budget, we can make it work.
Yeah.
But I just wanted something that worked around my schedule. And so it wasn't until 3.5 years ago, I was doing late night deep dive searches online, like what's actually going to be the thing that's going to bring me the income where I can work from home, work around my kid's schedule. And all of a sudden I found somebody said like, be a virtual assistant. You should look into freelancing. Mm-hmm. Never had heard of it before. And I'm like, okay, well, if I've never heard it before, like maybe it's worth investigating. And it really was like once I found that and I started learning more about it and how it worked and how you were starting a business and how it was different from the other options that I had looked into, I just made it a goal to, at the time, I should have said this too, at the time I was 7 months pregnant with my second son, and I made it a goal that by the time he was born that I wasn't going to go back to teaching. I was going to be done. I was going to resign. And so I just had to kind of prove to myself, and my husband, believe me, he trusts in me. He knows that I would never do anything to like put our family truly in jeopardy. But I really wanted to prove it to myself that this actually could consistently bring in money. In my first month, I made $800. My second month, I made like right around $1,200. And I'm like, okay, my main goal was to replace my big student loan payment, which was $1,000 a month. I'm like, if we can do this, like we will be okay. We will budget. We will cut things out. We will make it work. And so my last day in the classroom was the day before my son was born, and I haven't been back at a full-time job since then. And I've been doing this full-time. You know, I've mainly been freelancing for the past 3.5 years. I've slowly started to wean that out because I've also added in the coaching aspect, which really fills my heart as far as the teacher that's in me. Like I said, I love what I did, but I wanted, again, that flexibility. I'm still using my teaching degree. I have a lot of people are like, well, you spent all this money to do all, and now you're not. Yes, I am teaching. It just looks different. It's not in a classroom. Yeah. It's not with little kids. It's with adults all around the world. So that's where I am today. I teach other moms and teachers how to get started and also how to scale their business, because I had a lot of people who were coming to me saying, I'm doing the thing. I started the business, but I'm struggling. Like, how can I find more clients? How can I earn more income? All those things. So I help them at both stages of their business. And that's what I do. And I love it. And it's one of those things where it's like, gosh, I can't believe it's actually my job.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And I love your journey. Was it scary for you? I mean, so when you left, you were 2 months into it, right? When your son was born?
Yes. Yep.
And so you were making like 1200 ish that month. Was there any fear of like, what if I don't bring this up to actually replace my income? Or was that like 1200 a month, I'm good, and like, we're good and I can quit?
There definitely was some fear in there, because I think that's anything like, you know, is this just like beginner's luck? Is this how it works for everybody? You know, is it going to fall off? But I also reminded myself too, like right now I'm just working in super small pockets of time. Like I was getting up before I went to work. So I was working from like 5 a.m. to 7, and then I would leave to go to my teaching job. And then I was working from like 8 until 10 at night, which that's 4 hours. But I was like, if I have more time, I'll be able to actually bring on more clients. Like at that point, I was pretty much capped with what I was doing. And it also allowed me to like ease into it. Like I was starting a brand new season too of like, now I'm a mom of two. Like, and luckily it wasn't my first rodeo. So I at least knew what I was doing at that point too. Yeah. And I think there's always going to be that fear. Like even at any point, like you're starting a business, okay, then your business takes off and then you're looking to that next step, or you're making, you know, more money than you thought you would. And how do you handle that? And how do you know? So there's always going to be some fear. But I think for me, I always try to, and again, this is not like, it's not always perfect, but I always try to weigh like the cost versus the benefits. And most of the time, the benefits for me outweigh those, like, oh, well, what if this doesn't work? Like, you know, I know deep down, if I had to go back to a teaching job, I could. Like, I know that's always going to be there. And so for me, like at this time in my life, I always just said, like, I'm going to do this for the first 5 years of my kid's life. And then I'll go back to a job. I have a different story now that's not happening. But you know, it was always, I knew that there wasn't any decision that was so certain or so set in stone that like there wasn't going to be a plan B. So that helped me to ease into it. But again, like having that more time, having that flexibility too, where I wasn't at a full-time job, you know, for a majority of the day, where I could really devote to my clients too.
Yeah, that's such a good point. And that was really the thing for me too. When I left my job, I was like, the worst case scenario, I can go back and get, I mean, I have a master's degree in accounting. Like I can go back and get an accounting job anywhere if I really needed to do that. I don't ever plan on it. But when you really put it in perspective, and I think too, from the perspective as a mom, I'm not a mom, I don't have kids, but I can imagine like that adds some level of fear on top of it, right? Because yes, you have a family to support, but you also want to be able to spend time with your kids and like be present. And I think remembering that it is kind of temporary, right? Like it sometimes probably doesn't feel that way, but like your kids are only going to be babies for a few years and then they go to school and you will have more time in your day maybe to go back and get another job, right? Or go back to what you were doing. So even if what you're doing is like only temporary to kind of make ends meet and support yourself for those first few years, if it allows you that ability and the freedom to be home with your kids, like that could be so worth it, you know?
Yeah. And it absolutely like 100% is. And my business has grown to way more than I ever initially thought it was. Like it really was. Yeah. I honestly, at first it was like, it would be great to replace my income. I don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. And then once that happened, it was like, you know, great. But it all of, and there are ups and downs. That's something that I've experienced many times throughout the past 3.5 years. Like there's times when it's really great. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then there's times where I'm like, did I make the worst decision in the world? Yeah. So there's ebbs and flows too, but even through all of that, like nothing will replace that time with my kids. And that's something I didn't have that growing up. And I don't fault my parents for that, but it's something that I craved because I saw it. I had friends who had that, whose parents had more flexibility and my parents didn't. And then my husband's family did. His mom was home with him. And so it's something that we talked about. That was something that if we could make it work, that, you know, even if we had to, even if I wasn't making anything, I wanted to contribute to our family. And I think we were in a different situation than our parents where like student loans are crazy, but like we knew that that was something that we wanted to make a priority for our family. And I will, like, I'll never get these years back and it goes so fast. And even, like I said, my boys are 3 and 5, like we're not really at that place yet where they're off and doing things, like they're with us most of the time. But, you know, even think about that, like once they start getting older, like they're going to want to go do things with their friends and that time is so fleeting. And that's something like, time to me is so precious and it's so fast and it's something we can't get back. So if I can do what I need to do, and whether it's tough or it's challenging or it's hard or it's rewarding, like what can I do to soak up these moments? Because once they're gone, they're gone.
Yeah, absolutely. So what were those first few things that you did once you were like, okay, I'm going to try out this freelancing thing? How did you actually get started and start getting clients?
Yeah. So I had my business set up like within a week. Once I set my mind to something, there's like literally no stopping
me.
Which again can be a good thing or not so good thing when it comes to like house projects. My husband will come home and I'd be like, yeah, so I'm painting the kitchen cabinets today. So I always say it serves me well, but yeah. So I had my business up and running. And the first thing that I did, and this is what I tell every single person who's starting a business, I posted on my personal Facebook page that I was starting this business. Maybe it was like the network market, like the former network marketer in me, because that's, you know, like what they would encourage you to do. But I just put myself out there and said, I'm starting this business. I'm super excited to offer these services to business owners. And I listed out like what I was going to help them with. I explained what a virtual assistant was. And from that post, like I didn't go into it thinking like I was going to gain clients, but I just went into it like, okay, I've got to put myself out there. And it's easier to just like rip off the Band-Aid than sit around and be like, okay, maybe I'm going to do it next week, or like next week rolls around. And it's like, oh, okay, maybe next week when I feel a little bit like more ready for this. And so it was just like, rip the Band-Aid off, put it out there. And I knew like at least the people who are friends with me on Facebook, like they know me, like they're not, I mean, maybe they would judge me, but I didn't feel like this. I just was like, I'm putting myself out there. And from that post, I had a former teacher who I had worked with when I was student teaching, and she had started an online business, which I knew about, but I didn't like know like what I hadn't followed too closely along with it. And she reached out to me and she's like, I am just getting ready to make a hire in my business, but I've been struggling because it's so hard for me to trust people and my business is my baby, but I know you, like I know your work ethic, like I've worked with you, like would you want to come and help me for 10 hours a week, my business? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, like I didn't, sometimes I think people will go into that too. Cause I'll tell everybody, like you have to put yourself out there. Like the people that you know that know you, like they're going to be the ones that were going to recommend you. That's your first foot in the door. And I have people who are like, well, I don't know anybody who has a business. Like I didn't think like posting that, I didn't think, oh my gosh, I hope she sees this because she would be, you know, I just put it out there and it's not necessarily about who you know. It's potentially about who they know. So if you put that out there and you like let people know that you're doing this, you have a way better chance. And it just helps you to get more comfortable with it. Like I even say silly things like now that we're out and about and the world is, you know, back to going back to the way that it was, hopefully, you know, I'm like, when you see people in the grocery store, or you're talking to people and they're like, hey, what's new? I haven't caught up with you in a while. Don't just say, oh, yeah, nothing. Like, talk about your business. Like, have that just be something that is natural to you that starts to come out so that it doesn't feel like this secret that you're holding back. Mm-hmm. So that's really how I got started. And then I was really, like I said, I had that timeline, which whether that works for everybody, like I don't encourage people like that you have to set, like you have to reach these milestones at a certain time. But for me, right, like having that deadline really motivated me and pushed me to be like, okay, it's now or never. And mm-hmm. if I don't make this happen, like what's the alternative? Well, I'm only going to have X amount of weeks of maternity leave. I'm going to have to go back. I'm going to have to put my kids in daycare. So like, again, those were like the costs versus that. And so it's like, okay, you know, I'm going to have to get uncomfortable. I'm going to have to put myself out there. So I was networking as much as I can. I was in Facebook groups. I was reaching out to people. I was, you know, I had a really great follow-up system. So I was making sure that I was following up on leads. And like I said, that first month, like I couldn't even believe, again, like $800, you know, that was great. But I'm like, oh my gosh, people are actually paying me to like help them.
Yeah.
So those were like those first couple of steps, is like just not letting that fear, which can be super overwhelming for people and can hold a lot of people back. I was using, like, I was super excited about my business. So I was using that energy to propel me forward, because it can do one or the other. It can propel you forward or it can hold you back, because you're just running through all the scenarios of like, well, what if this happens? And what if someone says this? And so I just was like, nope, I'm just going to keep moving forward. And every little win and every time I did it, I built that confidence over time. And I think that really helped me to propel forward.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's such a good example of like, usually your first few clients are going to be people who you know. Mm-hmm. And I think we overlook that so much, because we're like you said, I don't know anyone who owns a business, but you might not realize that you know people who own a business, or their sister owns a business, or their friend, or whoever, right? You never know. I mean, I remember when I first started posting, and that's why literally the first, everyone always asks me like, how do I get started? What should I do? And I'm like, literally just start posting, like anywhere, mm-hmm. wherever you have people, start posting there. And when I first started, it was like, I had my Instagram account. I had like 130 followers. It was all just people who I knew. And I was like, just started posting about fitness. When I started my business, I was doing fitness coaching. And it was like these random people who I knew, but I would never have thought like, oh, this could be a client. Like, they would just DM me like people I went to high school with, or friends of friends that were following me because we had like met a couple times, right? And they would message me and ask about coaching, and they became my first few clients. So you just never know. And literally just start putting yourself out there, I think, is always the best way to go about it, because you might end up getting your first few clients in such an easier way than you would have thought.
Right. That those people that you know, like, those are going to be the easier sell, right? It's like,
right, because they already know you, they trust you, they like you, which is like, you don't have to convince some random person who doesn't know you all of those things, right?
Right. Yeah. And I like to think in analogies too. It's like when you try to think about it like a pool, like we're gearing up for summertime. Like, I can't wait to start getting in the pool and like having, experiencing all that weather. I'm like, I don't know what it was about this year. Maybe it's because it's like past 2 years have been like not, you know, doing all the things. I'm like, this year I am so ready for it. But it's like with your business, it's a hot day. You go to a pool and it's like the only way to actually cool off is to fully mm-hmm. jump in, to get in. It's like not, I mean, you're going to cool off by dipping your toes in or whatever, but it's like you have to immerse yourself in that. And that's where I see the biggest success with like my students who come through my programs. It's the people who are not sitting on the sidelines, like waiting for that day where it's like, I'm going to feel ready today to do it. It's like, you have to start before you feel ready. And that's when that confidence comes. It's like, take the step first, and that all that stuff will come to you. But if you're not willing to put yourself out there, you're not going to see the results that you want.
If you're ready to get your business off the ground and start making money in the new year, or maybe before then I am so excited to tell you about the promotion Kajabi is running this month. If you're new here, Kajabi is the all-in-one platform I use to power my entire business. It is my website, my landing pages, my email list, my coaching program, my courses, my payment processing, everything. They also have templates that make it so easy to DIY beautiful emails and landing pages without needing a degree in web design. You guys, I held an impromptu Zoom event a couple weeks ago. It was a birth control chat for the girlies. If you follow me on Instagram, you know. But I was able to throw together a gorgeous landing page in under an hour all thanks to Kajabi. Right now, you can get a 60-day free trial of Kajabi when you sign up for their Creator Challenge. Not only does that give you 2 months to check out all of Kajabi's features and get your entire business up and running, but you also get access to weekly training sessions with industry experts and challenge prompts that give you actionable steps to accomplish your business goals without the guesswork. So if you're getting ready to launch your business or publish a new course or membership in the new year, now is the time to try Kajabi. Get your 60-day free trial now when you go to lindseyhanson.com/kajabi60 and use my affiliate link to sign up. Again, that's lindseyhanson.com/kajabi60 to get 60 days of Kajabi for free. Make sure you get inside before the challenge ends. So what were the services that you were offering as a VA when you first started?
Yeah. So when I first got started, I was offering a little bit of everything to a little bit of everybody. Mm-hmm. And I think it was okay to get started like that. I do teach to my students now who are ready to scale, is that once you get into this and once you know what you actually like, it's better to narrow down as opposed to offering everything, both from a client perspective and for yourself to keep yourself sane. But I didn't really know, like I went into it being like, I'm a teacher. What skills do I even have that would actually help people? So like, I went with social media because I'm like, I'm on social media. Like I know how to post, like I know how to do some things. And I tried to not think about like, oh, no one's going to hire me because everybody is on social media. Everybody knows how to post. Yeah. It's not necessarily about that. Because there's things that in businesses that they know they have to do, but they don't have time to do. And anybody can post on your behalf in your business. There are things in my business that only I can do. Like I'm the only person that can record my podcast. I'm the only person that can, you know, go live on video. So there's certain things in my business that need to get done, but don't need to get done by me. So I started with social media, like I said, and then just doing some like general admin stuff, like answering emails, helping them schedule calls, organizing their Google Drive, just a lot of that organization stuff that I had as a teacher. And then once I got started with it, I realized, okay, I don't really love social media. I didn't love being on social media more than I already was for myself. And so I was like, okay, that's not really a great fit. So I started to work with clients who like services that I actually enjoyed. And then once I got into it, I had clients who were like, hey, you know, I need help with this. Can you help me with that? And so I started to learn more because going into it now, like now I look back on it, it's like, I did not even know some of these things existed. Like some of these services that you can offer, like I didn't know there was things like Pinterest managers or podcast managers. I like in my mind, like super naive, I'm like, business owners handle all of that. Like, of course, you know, so I'm like, I didn't even think that that was something. So it was helpful for me to start out kind of offering a little bit of some things because I got to see what I actually enjoyed doing. And then from there, I was able to be like, okay, I don't like social media, so I'm not going to offer that. I'm actually going to offer this because this is what I really like doing. So that's how I got started. And then I, like I said, I shifted. And I think that's what allowed me to scale my business so quickly because a lot of people will just stay in that general VA, which is fine. But for me, I knew that my time was limited. And I also knew that I didn't only want to, like, I didn't want to work all these hours. Like I didn't leave a 40-hour work week job to like continue to work 40 hours. I wanted to work less. And so that when I made that shift too, I was able to shift away from you can only make the amount of hours that you can work to now shifting to packages where that's not necessarily based on how many hours you work, but more about the value that you bring. And so once I made that shift, that's when I was really able to take my business to that next level.
Yeah. Okay. So for those listening who are like, I don't have any skills to offer as a freelancer, what's your advice?
My first response is yes, you do. This is a question that I get literally all the time. People are like, I don't have any skills. So you have to think about it in two different categories. There are the skills that you have that you actually carry out in your job. So for me as a teacher, what are the things I was actually doing? Like I was teaching kids, I was writing lesson plans, I was helping create curriculum. Like those were the tasks that I was actually doing. But then you also have to think about it. What are the skills or even personality traits that are required in order to execute those things that you are currently doing in your job? So those, that's where you start to think about like personality traits. So like I was super organized, I was creative, I was tech savvy. And so those are skills that you actually like, everybody has those innate skills. So the other thing to think about too is I like to have people ask themselves some questions. And sometimes it might require like you going out and asking other people too, because sometimes it's hard for us to think about ourselves in this way. But what is it at your job that everybody comes to you for. So in my job, I was one of the younger teachers. I was surrounded by a lot of like older veteran teachers. And so one of the things that people always came to me for was technology. I was incorporating new technology. I just felt comfortable with it. But again, like I wouldn't necessarily in myself call that a strength. So sometimes when you look at it from that way, it's like, oh, okay. Like what are people always coming to me for? What are people always saying? Like, oh my gosh, you do this so well. Can you teach me how to do that? That's an indicator of something that could be a strength of yours that you are not seeing in yourself. Because a lot of times the things that come easy for us, we automatically think it must come easy for everybody else too. Like, this is so easy. And a lot of times it's not. So that's one of the questions that I like to have people ask themselves. Like, what is it that you're passionate about? What is something that you, maybe you do recognize a strength in yourself? Or what do people come to you for? What do people say is that strength of yours? And leaning into that. So, you know, like I said, thinking about things like I was organized, I was creative. I also did a little bit of like minor graphic design. I was not a graphic designer by any means, but I knew that I could put together something in Canva to help a business owner. I could create a graphic for them too. So I was using some of those creative skills. Again, how did I come up with the idea that I was creative? Well, I was creating, you know, bulletin boards and anchor charts. Like, again, things that I wouldn't necessarily translate to, okay, does that mean I'm going to create that stuff for business owners online? No, but I'm going to use those skills that's required of me to do those things or that I innately have to help me. So that's something else that helps people when they struggle with those things to ask other people, like, what is a strength of mine? Or even just start to take note of, like, what are people coming to you for? Because that's usually an indicator of something that comes naturally for you and that you can support another business owner with.
Yeah, that's such a good point. It's so easy to overlook the things that come naturally to us because we feel like, well, no one's going to pay me for that because that's easy. Like, it's not really a job, but I'm telling you, people will pay you for it because even if they can do it, they might just not want to do it or they don't have time to do it, right? As a business owner, it's not that I don't know how to edit my own podcast. I can do it. I don't want to do it. So I have a podcast manager, you know? So there are a lot of things that might be simple tasks, but that's kind of the point of a VA, right? A lot of times is a business owner has these simple tasks that are taking up so much of their time. And I think that's why virtual assistants and freelancing can be such a good way to get started in your business because it's something that, like, honestly, everyone needs. So have you seen any kind of cool or, I guess, non-traditional niches or services that your clients offer when they start their business?
Yeah, I think a lot of people do go into it with that virtual assistant realm. And I just wanted to touch on something that you said, because this is something that I've seen a lot. So people who, number one, I'm like a huge believer in having different revenue streams because there's going to be ebbs and flows to your business, no matter what type of business that you have. And so for a lot of people, say you do have this like passion project of something that you're trying to build up. Like for me, even with my courses and my coaching, like that took a lot more time to build up. I had to build the audience for it. Like I have my podcast, like I'm doing a lot more of the heavy lifting on the front end in order to like reap those results. Like I said, freelancing, I made $800 my first month. It's one of the easiest ways to get started. It's one of the easiest ways to actually make money. And a lot of times you have a ton of profit because you don't have a ton of overhead. Like you're not running ads, like so all these other things. So it's a really great way, like you said, to get started. And then it could be something that you do alongside of the other things that you're trying to do. Like maybe you're trying to like start a podcast or you're trying to do coaching or something else online. It could be something that can fund that while you're getting that off the ground too. And then your question was if there was anything like interesting services that I've seen.
Yeah, like things that people wouldn't normally think of like, oh, I can offer this as a service.
Yeah. I mean, I think now, I mean, one of the ones that I remember I thought this too, because this is one of the services that I ended up specializing in was blogs. So I ended up becoming a blog manager. And again, so naive of me, I'm like, of course, every person who has a blog writes their own blog post. But I was the one who was like behind the scenes doing the writing, doing the research, doing all the linking, creating all the graphics for it. So that, I mean, and that's not super out there. But I think, again, sometimes if you're not technically like in this world, like I felt like I was an outsider looking into the online world. I had no idea until I actually started in this world that's like, oh, like you can do that. And you can have somebody who, you know, does all of your copy like that. Again, something so simple. It's like, I thought everybody writes their own captions and does all this stuff. And again, it's not that business owners can't do those things. It's just do they have the time to do it? Do they want to do it? Or is their time better spent doing something else? And that's even like, we just had a coaching call yesterday and I had a lot of people who are struggling with that, like imposter syndrome and like, who's going to pay me, you know, $25 an hour, $30 an hour to do these tasks that seem so simple, right? And the one thing that I said to them was, okay, so say I had somebody who came in and helped me for an hour of my business and I paid them $30 an hour to do that. Okay. In that hour of time, what could that mean for me? Could I sell one of my courses? Could I do a one-hour coaching call with somebody? The price of those two are way more than $30 an hour. So I'm making more money by bringing somebody on. And I'm also not spending my time doing things that don't move the needle forward for my business in the sense of like, I don't need to be the one doing that. So that's something that's helpful too for like, if you're feeling like, well, who's going to pay me for this? And oh, like answering emails is so simple. Like, yes, it is a simple thing, but for a business owner who has many different things that they're juggling, that is not where they need to spend their time. And if you can get an hour back of their time that they could focus on doing more revenue generating activities, that's going to bring them like more bang for your buck. Like, you are totally worth that hire for me and give me all the hours that I can get back in my day. Or even to not necessarily like revenue generating. Like, if somebody's giving me back an hour, like maybe that means like I get to, you know, close my laptop an hour and I get to go take my kids to the park. And you can't put a price on that for me too. So just something to help you if you're feeling like, well, I don't know if anybody would pay me or how do you justify that? That's something that definitely helps business owners.
Yeah, I remember talking, I think I was doing a training in my membership and one of the girls in there was starting her VA business and she had the same thing. It was like, well, who's going to want to pay me for this? It's such a simple thing. And I'm like, you're not selling the task, the service. You're actually not selling the service you're offering. What you're selling is that business owner's time. Like, you are freeing up their time. And that is the value that you're bringing to their business. And when you put it in perspective of not just, oh, I'm spending an hour, you know, posting on Instagram or responding to emails, like that's not a big deal. You have to put it in the perspective of the business owner and the value you're bringing to their business, which could be a literal tangible like profit. Like you said, they are not spending that hour now answering these emails and instead they're on a coaching call and someone's paying them $300 for that, then of course they're going to have no problem paying you $30 to do that task. Or it could be that they just now have another hour in their day where they can take a break, they can be with their kids, they can go on a weekend trip or something and take Friday off because you're handling those tasks that were taking up so much of their time. And so that is what you are actually selling as a virtual assistant. And once it's in that perspective, it's like obvious, right? Like, of course, people that this is why so many people are hiring VAs because I don't want to do all this stuff in my business that's taking up all my time and that isn't bringing in revenue directly. So I think that's just such a good perspective to always have. And another question I have for you is, do you believe that anyone can start freelancing and what does it really take to be successful as a freelancer?
Yes and no. I mean, if you don't enjoy working with other people and helping them, you know, maybe not. But if you, I do feel like it's a really great fit for a lot of people because it doesn't take a ton to get off the ground. You know, with other businesses, like think about even just like a brick and mortar business. My parents just opened up a pharmacy last year. Like that business in and of itself took tens of thousands of dollars to get off the ground. And the nice thing about freelancing is it really, you can get started budget friendly and you can start making income and you can be profitable that first month, which is really like a lot of times it's unheard of for a lot of businesses to be profitable your very first month. So yes, I do think that it's a really great fit for a lot of people, but of course you like, you have to want to help people and support people and enjoy being like the behind the scenes person and being a problem solver. Like those are, I think are skills that make a really great freelancer too. And then as far as getting started, you know, like a lot of people say like, well, what do I actually need? I mean, you definitely need a computer. I've had a couple of people who have said, will my phone work? And while I have done some things on my phone, I think you will be much happier and a lot less stressed if you have a computer. It doesn't have to be a MacBook or anything like that. Like just getting a computer, having Wi-Fi, having a hard work ethic, being resourceful, because a lot of times there are going to be things that maybe you haven't done before. I didn't go into this with like all of this extensive VA training. Like I didn't go to virtual assistant school. I went into it where it's like, I know how to be on a computer. Like these are the things that I know how to do, but I also know at the same time, I can figure anything out. Like I like there are YouTube videos, there's mm-hmm. Google, like there's so many things that you can do. And if you're resourceful and you're a problem solver and you're willing to take the steps necessary to figure things out, like you can be successful with this too. And so I think that should like ease people's minds too. It's like, you don't have to have all this experience. You don't have to, you know, like I see people who are like, well, there's other people who have been a VA for X amount of years. And it's like, well, you might bring something new or something fresh. And also too, like there's nobody else out there that's you. You bring your own unique gifts and talents and experience to the table, whether that's, you know, as a teacher, as a nurse, as somebody who's in the corporate world, like you bring your own skills to the table that really will help a business owner. And again, like it, you don't have to be the know-all. You just have to come in and say, like, I'm willing to help you get back some of your time. And one of the questions that I tell my students to ask on a discovery call, and this is tying back to the like selling your service type thing, is, you know, talking about like their pain points and talking about like what they're struggling with and asking them like, how would it feel if you were able to get those 5 hours back? And yeah. You'll just see like, you can almost see like the relief taken off their shoulders. They're like, oh my gosh, like that would, you know, so you don't have to, again, you don't have to be this expert. You just have to go in like, I'm going to help business owners free up their time so that they can spend their time either with their family or doing things that are actually important in their business. And if you have a helping heart, which I think a lot of people who come from like the, you know, like nursing background and teachers and stuff like that, like they make the best freelancers, I think, because they, mm-hmm. that's innate in them is to help too.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Were there any challenges that you faced in the beginning when you were ramping your business up?
Yeah. I mean, I think some of the things were probably more like personal to me as far as like, you know, starting the business when I did, like I had a lot on my plate. I was trying to do mm-hmm. a lot of things. And then, you know, as my business was ramping up, like I was juggling 2 kids. But one thing that I always remind myself, even like there had been times, there was one point where I had a client who pretty much like promised me the moon. And they were like, I want to bring you on as a big part of this business. It's going to be X amount of hours per week. And, you know, it's going to grow into more. And I was like, wow, this is a really great opportunity. It was my ideal client. It was exactly what I wanted to be doing. And so in order to take on that client, I had to let some of my other consistent clients that were maybe smaller projects go. And that client, you know, like I said, promised me the moon. And couple months later, they were like, we changed your mind. Like, we're not, you know, and so I felt like I had to start over from scratch. But in any one of those situations, yeah. like whether it's personally things that you're dealing with, like you're in a new season, like you have a new baby or like your kids or whatever it is, I always try to remind myself it's just that. It's just a season. Like it won't be mm-hmm. like this for long. And I can either wallow in this season and yeah. just, you know, go with this and where am I going to be in a couple months? Or I can, you know, feel this and be like, okay, this is just a season. Like, let's pick ourselves back up, dust ourselves off, and keep moving too. So there's definitely been challenges. Like I said, there have been times where I was like, did I even make the right decision? But it's always yeah. worked itself out because I was willing to like realize like this is not permanent. It's only temporary.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you have any tips for moms, if there are moms listening, I'm sure there are, of how to balance your business or your career with family, personal time? And do you find that it's easier to do that as a freelancer versus when you were a teacher?
Yeah, absolutely. Just because there was only like, I could only be a teacher during certain hours of the day. Yeah. And now like I said, when I was first getting started, it was early mornings and late nights. That really is not existent for me anymore. But I also know that like if it was a busy week or maybe everybody was sick in the house and like I needed to do that, like I know that I could. So that mm-hmm. in and of itself to me is just like a huge weight off my shoulders because it's like I don't have to be on somebody else's time. I get to work. And that's one of the beauties of freelancing. Like as long as you are getting that work done, the client doesn't care if you're doing it at 3 p.m. or at 12, you know, midnight. So that's something that's definitely helpful for me. One thing that's been helpful for me consistently, and like I said, I've gone through the different seasons now. My boys are a little bit older. My oldest is in full-time school. Next year, my youngest will have a little bit more. He'll do like a transitional school where I'll have 2 full days where he's at school. And so I've gone through all the different ebbs and flows. I think one of the biggest things that helps me is communication. So I'm letting my husband know like, hey, this is what I have coming up this week. Here's when I'm going to need to be in the office because I like to work around their schedule, like, you know, nap times and different things like that. But there's also times where I might have to utilize him to support. And a lot of times it was hard for me to come to terms with that, because I'm like, oh, I'm missing out on that time with them. But I also remember too that it's building, my husband's getting to build a relationship with the kids too that he doesn't get to do because he's gone all day at work too. So it's just about allowing yourself to ebb and flow, allowing those different times and not beating yourself up about it. And even if you have like the best planned schedule and you have everything, that's something I learned from teaching. It's like I have all these great lesson plans and something happens on Tuesday and the rest of the week's thrown off. So I can either be like, well, the rest of the week's gone, or I can be like, okay, let's make a plan. Let's try to adjust. Let's make some changes too. So yeah, it's a rewarding thing to have that time too, but it definitely takes some scheduling, some planning, communication in order to make it all work.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Aubrey, any final advice that you have for the woman listening who's thinking about taking that leap into freelancing or starting her own business?
Yeah, I would just say, you know, place it on your heart and see if it feels like a good fit for you. But if it's something that you are really determined to make happen, I would just say go for it. I think one of the biggest things that I live by in my life is I don't want to get to the end of my life and regret something that I, you know, thought I should have done or maybe tried. And I think even if you try something and it doesn't end up working out maybe the way that you had hoped it would, then there's always lessons learned. And so I sometimes look back on my life now and it's like, oh, I wish I would have found this sooner. And I wish I wouldn't have spent all this money on college to now, yeah. Like I'm, you know, not even technically like using my degree in the traditional sense, but all those stepping stones along the way, like mold you and shape you into the person. And they teach you a lot of really great lessons. And like, I wouldn't, now looking back on it, it's like, I wouldn't change it because it brought me to where I am today. And who knows like where I would have been if I didn't go through all those things too. So I would say just do it. And then even if you're afraid, even if there's some fear surrounding that too, I think you'll get to the end of your life and think, gosh, what if I would have just started that freelance business? Like, where would I be? And then also too, like thinking, instead of thinking like, well, what if this doesn't work out? Like thinking, what if it does? Like, what could that look like too? And a lot of times when I shift those questions in my head, like that helps me to continue to push forward too.
Yeah, I love that. All right, Aubrey, where can the listeners find you if they want to get connected? And also if you have any resources that you wanted to share?
Yeah, so you can find me. My favorite place probably to hang out is, used to always say Instagram, which I still am very much on Instagram. I love connecting the DMs. That's just my name, at Aubrey Malik. But I'm also on TikTok, which never thought I would say I'm on TikTok. But that has been a really fun place for me to be. So again, same thing. A lot of things that I have out there you can find just by searching my name, at Aubrey Malik, my website, aubreymalik.com. I also have a podcast, like you mentioned, Freelancer to CEO, and we talk about starting that business, doing all the things in between, and also how can you take it to that next level, maybe if you want to leave your full-time job. So Freelancer to CEO. And then if your listeners are thinking about getting started and they just kind of want to know like, hey, what is even this freelancing thing? I have a free training and it kind of walks through those beginner basics, and that's at aubreymalik.com/free training.
Okay, amazing. I will link all of that in the show notes for you guys. Aubrey, thank you so much for coming on and sharing your journey. It was so inspiring. And I know there are people listening. Hopefully there's some teachers and moms out there who can relate to your story. But even if you're not a teacher, I'm sure you can relate. And I know people get a lot of value out of it. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
All right, my loves, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're looking for more content to help you leave your 9-to-5, make money online, and create a life of freedom doing work you love, come hang out with me on social media. You can find me at Lindsay M. Hansen on Instagram and on TikTok. Also, come join the Quit Your Job Sis Facebook group so you can connect with me and your fellow listeners and get an amazing community to support you on your journey. If you love this episode, please be sure to share it on social media, share it with your friends or your coworkers, and go ahead and leave a review on Apple Podcasts so we can get the show out to all my corporate babes and entrepreneurs who need to hear it. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening and being on this journey with me. I love you. I appreciate you. I am here for you always, and I will talk to you in the next episode.